Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Healed this woman, and then after he healed the woman, the Pharisees were upset because it was the Sabbath. They didn't like that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, but interestingly, you know, if you ask, you know, do any of you, if I ask you tonight, do any of you have a problem with us healing on a Monday night? Because we technically have church on Sunday. Do you have a problem with us healing on Monday night? And you would say no, but some might say, well, yeah, I kind of sort of do. I think they ought to come at the right time. Well, guess what? The right question, I'm asking well people here. Do you get it now? I'm asking you well people, do you mind if someone's healed? You can say whatever you want. Try asking the sick person if they mind if you heal on the Sabbath, because I guarantee you they're going to go, no, I don't mind at all, as a matter of fact. Heal me now. And so he uses the analogy with them, and he calls them out on it, basically, and he says, you're hypocrites. And by the way, in that term, when he said hypocrites, it was a loud term. He was getting loud with them. You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away from water? What he's comparing is the fact that they're willing to set their animals free and give them water and take care of the animals, but they're not willing to take care of people and let this woman be loosed and let her drink living water. So, you know, this is really, Jesus had a great way of calling people out. And we see that all the time. I liked Jesus' analogy about you're okay to loose the animals, but you're not okay to loose this woman. Here's why I like it, because I see a lot of times in the media, I see big signs, save the whales. Don't ever do anything to a bald eagle, but you just hold up a sign that says save the babies and see what people say. The religious and the people that don't like it, you know, will say, oh, no. You know, do you see that we get our priorities? Our priorities should be God and his people, and taking care of people. But tonight we're gonna continue on a radical. This one's called a radical restoration. We're gonna talk about Peter. We're gonna wind up talking about Peter's denial of Christ three times. But I like Luke 5, where Peter let down the nets at the command of Jesus, and the nets were so full they were breaking. I love that story because it was a miracle story, and when Peter saw all the fish, he fell at the feet of Jesus. Some people are so interested in the miracle, they're looking at all the fish, and he was looking at Jesus. And I like that. When something wonderful happens in our life, we need to be focusing on Jesus who did it, not on what is done. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus told him, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. And they, James, John, the sons of Zebedee, who were his fishing partners with Peter, left everything and followed Jesus. Now, Peter was willing to leave everything. I want to talk about that for just a second. When we truly follow Christ, we're going to have to leave some things behind. You understand that, right? You might have to leave some relationships behind. You might have to leave just your job behind, all kinds of things. But when I say you must sometimes, it's going to cost you to serve Jesus, but I want to say this, it cost him so much more. It'll never cost you what it cost him to love Jesus. Will never cost you what it cost him to love you. And so when we might have to leave some things behind, but we're not going to have to leave everything behind. This says that Peter was willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. At least we need to be willing. God's not always asking us to leave everything behind, but we need to be willing to lay down anything for the sake of Christ that we need to lay down. And some people are not willing that, because whatever you give up, the things he's going to give you are much greater. And just because we can't see them now, we have hope for that in the future. And so John was speaking one day, and I want to tell you that it says here he was speaking to two of his disciples. How many of you knew that John had disciples? John had disciples. He was the forerunner of Christ, and he actually had disciples, and he had two. He was with two of his disciples here, and Jesus was walking by, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, I want to say something about being a disciple. They were disciples of John, and John was their leader, their pastor, whatever you want to call him, their leader. He pointed them not to himself. Hey, remember, I'm your leader here. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He pointed them to him. And that's what we need to do as disciples, point people to him, not to ourselves. Not, hey, I'm the one who's going around baptizing people here. He didn't do that. He pointed them to Jesus. And then the two disciples of John then followed Jesus. And that's what we're called to do, make disciples. We're called to tell people about Jesus, not to point them to ourselves. And so they asked where Jesus was living or where he was staying. And Jesus told them, well, just come and see. He said those words, come and see. And they stayed with him for hours. In fact, they spent the day with him, and it was around the 10th hour, which is 4 p.m. in the afternoon, we know. They spent the day with him. John 1:40 says this, one of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, I want to tell you something. People often think that the first encounter Peter had with Jesus was Jesus saying, come and follow me, and he was by the fish and by the fishing boat. But I want to tell you that Peter did know about Jesus before that. Peter did have an encounter with Jesus. I'm about to prove it to you. John 1:40, one of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. It was Peter's brother. 41, he findeth, the Bible terminology, his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ, and prophesied the promised one. No doubt Peter probably wondered, what are you smoking? What are you drinking? Because I don't think you found the Messiah. But verse 42, the Bible says, and he, Andrew, brought Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah, which is John. You shall be called Cephas, which in interpretation is a stone or a rock. Jesus called him a rock. Now, if you notice here when it says Andrew brought Peter to Jesus and Jesus saw him, he did not introduce him. Jesus already knew him. Jesus is the first one who spoke and said, ah, you are Simon. You're Peter. He knew him. Let me say something about that. Jesus knew us before we knew him. He knew who we were before we knew who he was. And I am thankful for that about every single one of us, that no introductions are needed. He knows us. And Peter had met Jesus, and Jesus had spoken to him because Andrew brought him and told Peter he believed he was the Messiah. Peter did not follow Jesus for himself until this point. Now, we know the story about fishing all night and catching nothing, which had to be very frustrating, right? And especially for people who love fishing. For me, it's even more frustrating. And I just can't hardly stand to be in the boat and not catch a fish. I will do anything to catch a fish. I have resorted to prayer, as you know, as Dan and them know, that I prayed for a catfish. I wanted it to be 22 inches. I think it was 23 or 4 or something like that. Whatever, but it's frustrating. And that they were fishermen by trade, so that had to be more frustrating. But Jesus walks up, told them to throw out the net, push off and throw out the net one more time. Sometimes it just takes a word from God one more time. Do it one more time. Do it one more time. It'll make the difference. And Jesus had borrowed the boat, and I think that's great to have Jesus in your boat, Peter's boat. And he knows Jesus, but he does not really think he is the Christ. But when you start seeing miracles, when you start seeing great miracles, how can you deny that he's the Christ? You just can't. You can't. Then you know he's the Messiah. And so I love in this story that Jesus taught, basically had church first in the boat, and then he took care of the natural, the catching of the fish, because Jesus always met people. I like that in this story we see that Jesus met Peter on his level. He kind of did something that Peter liked to do. When you want to become friendly with somebody or minister to somebody, it's good to Find out what they like to do. What are their hobbies? And do it with them. And I like that Jesus did this. He related to people on a personal level. He met them right where they were at. And I believe when Peter agreed to let those nets down in Luke 5:1-11, I believe after having caught nothing, he did not expect to catch anything, much less a great amount of fish. And he was completely surprised, completely amazed, completely shocked. And I'm pretty sure he had not believed Andrew when Andrew said that Jesus was the Messiah until the moments that the net was full and broke. And this was the very first miracle that Peter had ever witnessed. But there are many more miracles that Peter will witness in the years ahead. But I doubt that he knew that he would see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. But let me tell you something, he did. After he had been in the grave for three days. Peter witnessed so many miracles, but here's what I want to say about that. After following Jesus for 3 years, three solid years, witnessing Jesus' ministry and all, witnessing miracles, he was three of the closest, you know, Peter, James, and John. He had an epic fail. How many of us have fallen after we've served Jesus for a long period of time or years and really have no excuse, but we've still fallen? So let's read it. Luke 22:54-57, they seized him, Jesus, and they led him away. And they brought him to the high priest's house. This is a house, the high priest's house. You're waking up the judge in the middle of the night. We have someone. It's Jesus. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat down together, and Peter sat among them all. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked at him more closely, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it because they had Jesus in custody now. "Woman, I don't know him." Now, there's a problem with this because it says Jesus was taken into custody, but I've seen something that causes me for pause when we ask, why did Peter have this epic fall or fail? I noticed something that literally jumped out on the page at me. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. Following Jesus at a distance does not work. It will lead to a fall. We are supposed to desire and seek a relationship, a close relationship with Christ. You cannot follow him at a distance and because the enemy will trap you. He will trap you. We're not called to a distant relationship with Jesus. Luke 22:54-59 says, after a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." Now remember, Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times," after Peter had said, "I will never, ever betray you, deny you." Now, after a while, she saw him and said, "You're one of them too." "Man," he saw him. "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting. This man was certainly with him because he is a Galilean. But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, he was still speaking. He's in the process now of denying Jesus. "I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Shut up. I don't know him. You don't get it. I don't know him." And the rooster crows. And as I was reading this today, and the Holy Spirit just brought this to me, thank God for the roosters in our life. Thank God for the rooster that was used of God to remind him, "You are not, this is not who you are. You are not supposed to be denying him. He's been good to you. Who helped you catch the fish? Who was with you, Peter? Who loved you? Who knew you before you even knew him and was able to call your name? You believe he's the Messiah, and here you are denying him." But I like that Jesus had told him previously, the rooster is going to crow. Before the rooster crows, you will have denied me, because it's the rooster that caught his attention, and he caused him to turn around. And the Bible says this, "And he went outside and he wept bitterly." Why do you think he wept? He wept tears of repentance, tears of sorrow, tears of knowing that I have failed someone who did not fail me, who has not failed me. And just that morning, he had proclaimed his loyalty. And here the evening is, he's disloyal three times. I want to say something about that. You know, we should never be so prideful to say, that could never happen to me. I know this person, they sinned, they did this, they did that, but not me. That could never happen to me. Sometimes we're distant from God and we don't even realize it. We're just not in our Bible like we're supposed to. We're just not praying in prayer like we're supposed to. We're just not obedient like God has called us to be, and we find ourselves distant from God. It's like in the ocean, when you drift away, you can barely feel, you know, even the boats, the big boats, like the cruise ships and all, they're going, they're moving, and sometimes you can't even tell how far you've gone. In an airplane, the same thing. We need to remember to stay close to Jesus, and we need to never be so prideful. We always need to be humble and on our knees and saying, and we also need, when we see and encounter someone else who has had a fall, or how about three falls, like Peter? Still, we need to show mercy, because look what Jesus did. He's going to restore Peter. And I'm going to read the story of the restoration. A week and a half later, he sees Jesus. He was not at the cross. Remember, the disciples had scattered, so Peter was not at the cross. John 21, 1-3. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way to Simon Peter. Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Peter is right back where he started from, not catching fish. Fishing, but not catching anything. They were on the Sea of Galilee. By the way, here's the trivia for you. The Sea of Galilee is not even a sea. It's a freshwater lake. The name of it is the Sea of Galilee. It is not a sea. Anybody can tell you that. It is freshwater lake. They were not catching fish. They were not having success at all. The other disciples are with him. What a lesson. They knew. And something I like about that the other disciples were with Peter. This is now after the denial. I thank God for the other disciples that, even knowing of Peter's failures, they still accepted him, because they're still basically in this, you're still one of us. And that's how we should be, right? You're still one of us. Maybe you failed. Maybe you've had a failing. John 21, 4-6. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, and I like this, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net to the right side of the boat, not the wrong side, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the number of fish. Same situation. This tells me Peter's getting a do-over. Going right back, he's right back at the beginning. He's getting another chance. Oh, the mercy of God. I'm going to show you this one more time. How about we do this net thing one more time? How about we catch fish again, just like we did in the beginning, because I'm still the Messiah. I'm still who I said I was. And he has denied Christ three times. I don't know him. No, no, no. But here's something I want to bring out. Let me tell you something beautifully redemptive about the denial of Christ that Peter did. Peter denied Christ. There's no doubt about it. And many others have denied Christ, starting with Judas and so many of us at different times, because we can deny him by the way we live. The most beautiful thing about this whole story is that Jesus never denied Peter. Peter did deny Jesus. We've all done things. We've all betrayed him. We've all turned our back on him. Even after, we've all had failings, even after we came to Christ. But the good news is, Peter denied Jesus. Jesus never denied Peter. Aren't you thankful that he still claims us and knows our name, and he isn't telling anyone, I don't know that person. No, no, no. Do you know Janice? No, no, no. Jesus doesn't say that. Do you know? Do you know? No. He never says that at all. Does he, Kyron? I don't know her. I don't know her. I don't know her. Jesus would never say that. He said, she's mine. She's mine. Get back in the boat. We're going to catch some fish. Get back in. I'm in the boat. You're in the boat. We're all good now. Same situation. I think that's so redemptive that he still claims us. And just he's a good, good father. Even when we mess up, he's thankful. And, you know, I can remember, you know, when some of us went to see Joe in prison and more than once. And, you know, you recognize, but for the grace of God, that could be me. And you don't kick somebody when they're down, and you don't kick somebody when they made a mistake. You talk to them about the mercy of God. You talk to them about redemption. And so verse 7 says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, now we know that the disciple who called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved is John. We know that Jesus loves all disciples, but John chose to call himself that, and said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. Now, fishermen, when they catch fish, they don't want to catch small fish. I don't want to catch small. You want to catch large fish. But with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask who you are, for they knew it was the Lord. I love this. I just love this. Verse 15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Jesus asked Peter this 3 times, do you love me? The first 2 times he asked him, he was saying, do you like me? Do you phileo me? And Peter, you know I love you. You know I love you. But he asked him that 3rd time, do you agape me? I am so thankful for the life of Peter that shows us that God's not done with us when we fail, when we fall, when we make mistakes, when we sin. But he gives us a do-over. Sometimes it means going right back, coming right back to this same altar, right? The same place, coming right back here after a failing. And I'm so glad that he never turns us away. And Peter needed healing. He needed mercy more than justice. You know, sometimes that's the problem, that when someone fails and someone falls, we are so quick to say, but where's the justice in the situation? Let me tell you where the justice is. It's with God. God is the one who metes out justice. You are not the person to mete forth justice, because justice, you're not the judge. You're not qualified. I am not qualified. You know, I hate going to jury duty. I wouldn't want to be on some trial. You know why? Because I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I have the training for that. I don't want to be the one condemn somebody. You know, I know we have put ourselves, we have a legal system, but I love giving mercy. I think for every person, I would always be not guilty, not guilty. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Why? Because that's what I want. If something in my life, if I had a failure, I would want, and our worship team can come now. If it was my life, if I had done something like Peter, what if it was that I walked out of here and I denied him and I said, no, I'm not going to serve him anymore. And then somebody else came to me and I told them the same thing. Maybe Cece came and said, are you going to still serve God? I go, no, I'm not going to serve him anymore. Maybe Susan came and said, are you still serving Jesus? No, I'm not going to serve him anymore. And then the rooster crowed. Then someone came and crowed in my ear, and I had to acknowledge I've sinned. I would hope that there would be mercy for me. I would hope that the church would say, come back in. I would hope that they would say, you can be restored. That's what I would hope and pray. And I believe that. I believe that. I want to say something as they're worshiping. I want to say this. I believe we're that church. I believe we're that church, that people can come here, that this is a safe house for anyone who decides that they've fallen and that they can come. I want it to be. I know Pastor Ken wants it to be. We want it to be a place where the broken can come, where the sick can come, and, you know, and answer the call of God, because there's a call of God on everybody's life. Did you know that? There is a call of God on everybody's life. Before you were born, he set you apart and called you. Jeremiah, right? Didn't Jeremiah say it? And I believe that we need to answer the call of God. In fact, I read something I posted today. Lazarus was dead, and he answered the call of God. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. We have to say, yes, Lord, yes. Why? Because he's been merciful to us, and he's allowed us to catch a lot of fish. We are blessed. We are blessed. Are you blessed?
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.